Warning. The views expressed on the Mike Cannon Show, or the segments brought to you on this Indie Media Radio Show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNRB nor WNRB's host.
This is my boomstick!
The Mike Cannon Show.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Don't be mad at the media. Be the media.
And thousands are coming this weekend to drive you out of office. You're in your whole administration.
Secretary Runthal, I'm sorry that your First Amendment rights were not respected at the National Press Club.
Take this program with you. You are torturing people. Are signing off on
Secretary,
torture. It's happening. This world needs to wake up and stop this war, this criminal war. You are a war criminal.
Shut up.
Well, we'll count her as undecided.
And I'll count you as a warmongering, baby-killing, lying piece of shit.
Secretary Runthal, I'm sorry that your First Amendment rights were not respected at the National Press Club.
How is Rummy's First Amendment rights not being respected? Rumsfeld isn't being arrested for speaking his mind like the demonstrators at the Republican convention in New York. This is horseshit. Rumsfeld will get a chance to speak.
Shut up.
I didn't see this footage. I only heard it. But it's the National Press Club. Who do you think is cheering and telling this brave woman to shut up? It's your press. They're the real enemy, not Rumsfeld. This is what few people on the left understand. Rummy's rogue regime can only exist because it is not scrutinized by the right-wing, corporate-controlled media.
Don't be mad at the media. Be the media. Welcome again to another edition of the Mike Cannon Show, Indie Media Radio for Central Wisconsin. That is indie as in independent media. Yeah, who cares, right? You know, I was just thinking, do you recall on Discovery Channel and all those classes you had in high school, that place called Easter Island? You know that place where they had all the big, large stone heads all over the place? Well, did you ever wonder about the guy who was cutting down that last tree on Easter Island thought to himself while he's cutting down that last tree? You see, archaeologists who have studied Easter Island found out that while the once powerful island was in decline, the island priests and government made bigger and bigger heads to impress the people so they wouldn't worry as much. And the worse it got on the island, the bigger the heads would get, bigger and bigger as each tree was falling. The peasants thought, well, the heads are getting bigger and more impressive. Our leaders must know what they are doing. In the meanwhile, as the amount of wood it takes to make these heads and transport them all over the place was deforesting the island, the peasants stood around and thought, well, everything must be okay. So the forest got smaller and smaller, while the heads got bigger and bigger, until one day the last tree was chopped down for that last big head. So what was that guy thinking when he cut down the last tree for that last big head? So keep on buying your stuff. Shop, that's what the president tells you to do. The war is going fine, the general told us last week. Don't worry that 1 million more Americans fell below the poverty line last year. We can keep on giving the rich large tax breaks. Russian Savage says it'll all be okay. Hey, did you see that nice tall building we're going to put back into Ground Zero in New York? That'll show 'em. Hey, did you hear the French Quarter is open in New Orleans? It's got to be okay down there now. Gosh, that new prescription drug thing is a little confusing. But that's okay. Pop's almost dead anyways. boy, I sure hope that Iran doesn't get the bomb. You know, the Homeland Security Department is starting to run PSAs right now talking to our children about what to do in case of a terrorist attack. You know, I'm scared because I'm sure there is an Al-Qaeda cell somewhere in central Wisconsin. Say, have you heard that the Mall of America is having a sale on replicas of the Eastern Island statues just to put in my lawn? I hope they're nice and big.
Connect the dots of the conspiracy. We seek tyranny in our world.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
We seek the weapon of fear.
Just so long I'm a dictator.
We seek to impose a heartless system of totalitarian control throughout the Middle East.
And war is what they got.
Some dismiss that goal as misguided idealism.
But we're going to smoke them out.
In reality, an ideology of terror and death.
Yeah! Who will we want?
Terror and death, weapons of mass murder, tyranny in our world, poverty, corruption, and despair, organized crime, and human trafficking, and the drug trade, into an ideology of terror and death. Our nation has only one option, the weapon of fear, fear, fear.
Bring them on. I'm a war president. Fool me, can't get fooled again.
May God bless America. The weapon of fear.
Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
What do all men with power want? More power.
Now they knew who was master and leader. Sheep, thought I.
You said we're headed to war in Iraq. I don't know why you say that. I hope we're not headed to war in Iraq. I'm the person who gets to decide, not you.
Remorse for what? You people have done everything in the world to me. Doesn't that give me equal right? I can do anything I want to you people at any time I want to, because that's what you've done to me. If you spit in my face and smack me in the mouth and throw me in solitary confinement for nothing, what do you think's going to happen when I get out of here? Well, I haven't done enough. I might be ashamed of that for not doing enough. Maybe I should have killed 400 or 500 people, then I would have felt better. Then I felt like I really offered society something. I can, but I find more real in the world that I'm in than I do the tinsel. And the real world is the one I have to deal with every day. Believe me, if I started murdering people, they'd be not be left.
Chemical weapons threat, terrorists, dangerous, die. In terms of murders,
there are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
As of Monday, March 13, 2006, 2307, United States military personnel had died in Iraq since the start of the invasion. 17,004, United States military personnel had been wounded, over 5,000 of which had suffered grievous injuries such as amputations. 204, other, coalition forces had also been killed since the start of the Iraq War.
Join us or die.
According to the British medical journal Lancet, over 100,000 Iraqi civilians had died since the start of the invasion.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
What do you see when you're in the dark and the demons come?
That was this week's Iraq Body Count. Before that piece with the Who music in it was a section from Commander-in-Chief Radio, which can be found on radioforall.net. And before the Eastern Island rant was a segment from a show called Bastard Brood of Che, which also can be found on the radioforall.net website. That's radioforall.net. And the whole Bastard Brood of Che show can be also heard on talkwarrior.com. These are independent radio shows produced or offered by other not-for-profit and or community radio stations. That's what I try to bring you each week, independent voices and opinions from around the country and the world. That's what the Mike Cannon Show is all about. Feel free to contact me if you have any gripes or whatever at themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. That's all one word, themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. And now a reminder that all our WNRB programming can be heard on the web, live at our website. And you can do that by getting to the blog site at wnrb.blogspot.com and finding that link. Well, I'm going to be changing things up a little bit. Why? Pretty much because I don't care. Next piece is produced by Democracy Now!, The War and Peace Report. Amy Goodman has a marvelous interview with a British MP who knows a heck of a lot about this war. But then again, who really cares? So I will be changing things up a little bit. Amy's first part, she'll be talking about news items, and I plan on interjecting things here and there. Why? Because I think it's a good idea to get the whole picture. You see, I'm kind of tired of what I see and hear. I don't know how many times I hear from my friends who tell me that they know that they told them about this or that a month ago, and it's now only getting in the mainstream press, and they are surprised. I have an advantage in that I listen to a lot of news reports for the show, and I do mean a lot, to get ready for the show. But they really have no excuse for not knowing at least a little bit about what's happening in the world. If you care to, you can just listen to my show and it'll bring you up to speed about what's happening about a lot. And these are things you won't find on corporate media. But you don't really care and don't really want to know. Just like the folks on Easter Island. And I blame the liberals a lot more than the conservatives. I know I'm ranting, but there are some hard-working liberals out there, but the vast majority just sit around and do a lot of bitching. They don't like this or that, but won't make an attempt to find out what's really going on. Why? Because ignorance is bliss. If you know, then it plays on your conscience like a busting nose zit before prom. It's obvious and you have to try to do something about it. But if you don't know, then hey, it's not a big deal, right? If the problem is not visible like a zit on your back instead of a zit on your nose, then you don't have to deal with it, do you? As a sidebar, I'd like to thank the liberals for not offering us any real alternatives, so why pick them? They're only Republican lights anyways. That's what most liberals do, complain. I have well-meaning friends who won't even listen to the show. I have family who are homesick who won't even listen to the show. Now, they're not bad people. They'd come to a bowling league if I was in a tournament. They'd help me move a piano or cut down some wood. But they don't want to know what's happening. Out of sight, out of mind. And as the world burns, America's stoneheads are getting bigger and bigger, and everything is okay in the world for them. I hope it stays that way for them. I really do. But someone has to point out and say, hey, guys, we are cutting down that last god dang tree.
Thunder calling through the faraway towns. Now war is declared and battle come down. Thunder calling to the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. Thunder calling, now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania has bitten the dust. London calling, see we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the crunch of things. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is within. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, cause London is drowning. I live by the river to the imitation.
Some quick announcements. The third anniversary of this misadventure known as the Iraq War is coming. Stevens Point will be hosting an anti-war rally this coming Saturday, March 18th, starting at 10 p.m. at the Jacobs Middle School in Stevens Point. That's the Jacobs Middle School on Main Street in Stevens Point, starting at 10 a.m. There will be a citywide march at noon and tabling and music at 2 p.m. after the rally. This anti-war rally is in conjunction with state, country, and worldwide observations of this insane war anniversary. There will also be a rally at our state capitol on Saturday and a large call for a rally in Chicago as well. So if you're in those areas, please feel free to stop in. Over 10 million people turned out worldwide for the pre-invasion anti-war demonstration over 3 years ago now. I know it was a kick in the teeth, but everything we said would happen has happened. We were right. Let's try to keep the pressure on and see if we can end this insanity quick. Also a reminder that a small but dedicated group of anti-war demonstrators who have now been demonstrating over 3 years will be once again standing in front of the Marathon County Courthouse. Then they stand there every Friday from 3:30 to 5. Again, the anti-war demonstration in Wausau. is in front of the Marathon County Courthouse every Friday from 3:30 to 5. Lastly, on Tuesday, March 21st at UWMC, there will be a discussion debate sponsored by the Support the Troops Club on campus. The debate is titled, I think, Can You Support the Troops and Not Support the War? Or some straw man argument like that. It'll be starting at 6:30, and yours truly will be the token opposition. I hope you guys can show up and give a little support. Again, the Support the Troops Club on campus will be having a discussion about can you support the troops and not support the war, and that discussion will be held on Tuesday, March 21st at 6:30 in the Terrace Room at UWMC. I'll give these dates and times out again later in the show. Again, as always, thanks for listening to the Mike Cannon Show, Indie Media Radio for Central Wisconsin.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now! Broadcasting from London.
40 years ago, we've just learned, without telling ministers, Britain supplied plutonium for Israel's nuclear program. And this has just come out at the moment that Britain is lining up with the United States to try and report Iran to the Security Council for their own civil nuclear program.
Secret papers reveal the British government helped Israel build the atom bomb. The secret plutonium and uranium shipments were made behind the backs of British ministers, including then-Technology Minister Tony Benn. We'll speak with Benn, one of Britain's most distinguished politicians and the longest-serving MP in the history of the Labour Party. Then, the next Gulf, London, Washington, and oil conflict in Nigeria.
The international media is currently full of issues about the chaos and violence in the southern Nigeria and the Delta area, and we've been exploring the corporate and the geopolitical strategies that make this violence come about.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Dubai-based firm DP World has announced it will not take control of operations at six U.S. ports following a firestorm of criticism. Instead, the company said it would transfer the management of the ports to an unnamed U.S. entity. It remains unclear whether DP World plans to sell off its U.S. assets or set up a U.S.-based subsidiary to run the ports. Congress had threatened to derail the handover of port operations to DP World, claiming national security would be endangered if a company run by the United Arab Emirates operated the ports. But President Bush vowed to veto any legislation put forward by Congress to block DP World from taking over port operations. The Washington Post reports one company that might take over for DP World is the Carlyle Group. Halliburton also has been mentioned as a possible buyer. Meanwhile, a similar controversy is brewing over another business merger. An Israeli-based company called Checkpoint is in the process of buying the high-tech firm Sourcefire, whose technology is used to protect some of the government's most sensitive computer systems at the Pentagon and the National Security Agency. The Committee on Foreign Investments in the United States has launched an investigation into the proposed sale. The FBI reportedly opposes the sale of Sourcefire to any foreign firm because the agency fears that would give away the keys to the government's most sensitive computer networks. More than 250 medical experts have co-signed a letter condemning the United States for force-feeding prisoners on hunger strike at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. The letter appears in the British medical journal The Lancet. The doctors wrote, quote, "We urge the U.S. government to ensure that detainees are assessed by independent physicians and that techniques such as force-feeding and restraint chairs are abandoned." The doctors also said the American Medical Association should instigate disciplinary proceedings against any members known to have violated ethical codes while working at Guantanamo. Meanwhile, the Attorney General of the United States, Alberto Gonzalez, has been in London this week promoting what is going on at Guantanamo, defending the practices there. Two civil liberties groups asked the federal courts on Thursday to force the Bush administration to end its warrantless domestic spying program because it violates the privacy and free speech rights of U.S. citizens. The requests from the Center for Constitutional Rights and the American Civil Liberties Union came just days after Republicans blocked a Senate investigation into the National Security Agency's spy program. ACLU Executive Director Anthony Romero said, quote, in America, no one is above the law, not even the president. The president's allies in Congress are preparing to cover up his illegal program while others in Congress are standing on the sidelines. When the president breaks the law, Congress should not be giving him a get-out-of-jail-free card, Romero said. Meanwhile, a former high national security lawyer at the Justice Department has come forward to criticize some of the Bush administration's key legal justifications for the warrantless spying program. Former Associate Deputy Attorney General David Criss says the Bush administration's contention that Congress had authorized the NSA program by approving the use of force against al-Qaeda was a, quote, weak justification unlikely to be supported by the courts. Criss oversaw national security issues at the Justice Department from 2000 until 2003. In news from Iraq, the Iraqi government hanged 13 people accused of being insurgents. It marked the first execution of militants since the U.S.-led invasion. The name of only one of those executed was released.
Okay, I have to interject something here that perhaps Amy didn't have time to tell you about. The 13 executed people, according to the president of Iraq, all confessed. Yep, that's right. All 13 confessed to being terrorists. Gee, what are the odds of that? I mean, I can't believe that all 13 would be that stupid. Yes, sir, I did it. I'm a terrorist. Please kill me now.
In Baghdad, another journalist has died. Munsif Abdallah Al-Khaldi, a television presenter with Baghdad TV, was shot dead by unidentified gunmen while he was driving.
Sorry, Mike Cannon here. By the way, more journalists have died in these 3 years of the war than the whole 14 years of the Vietnam War. Just thought you might want to know.
Meanwhile, the Pentagon is now denying reports that it's preparing to soon close the notorious Abu Ghraib prison. On Thursday, it was widely reported the Pentagon planned to close the prison within the next 3 months and transfer the 4,500 detainees to another prison. But defense officials are now saying there's no specific timetable for closing the prison. One of the top stories this morning on the Pentagon's own website, DefenseLink, reads, quote, U.S. has no immediate plans to close Abu Ghraib prison.
Come on, you can't believe everything you read on the net, can you? Sorry, back to the show.
Defense officials are saying that the U.S. always has planned to transfer authority of the prison to the Iraqis, but announcements regarding the imminent closure at the Abu Ghraib prison are premature. In other Iraq news, a federal jury has found the military contractor Custer Battles guilty of defrauding the United States for grossly inflating the cost of projects in Iraq.
By the way, Custer Battle Group were two guys named Custer and Battle who formed the company after they met in Iraq while serving in the United States Military Special Forces Unit. And they ripped us off by setting up false Cayman Island accounts. Come on, who do they think they are, some large America corporation?
The lawsuit was brought under the Federal False Claims Act, which allows company whistleblowers to bring suit on behalf of the government and to share in damages awarded.
Okay, I got some news to share. Paul Bremer lost $8 billion while he's in charge of things over there. Who do I talk to get a whistleblower piece of this action?
Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld appeared before the Senate Appropriations Committee on Thursday seeking $65 billion more for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. He was pressed repeatedly about how the U.S. would deal with a civil war in Iraq. Rumsfeld said the plan is to, quote, have the Iraqi security forces deal with it to the extent they're able to.
Did he say to the extent they are able to? To the extent they are able to? What kind of plan is this? Must be following the Katrina model.
Meanwhile, a protester was thrown out of the Senate hearing after disrupting testimony by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
Illegal and immoral
arms,
war.
Please.
How many
restore
of you have
order.
Children in this illegal and immoral war?
The committee
the blood
will
is
come
on
to
your
order.
Hands, and you cannot wash it away. The blood is on your hands, and you cannot wash it away.
During that same hearing, Rice issued yet another warning about Iran.
We may face no greater challenge from a single country than from Iran, whose policies are directed at developing a Middle East that would be 180 degrees different than the Middle East that we would like to see develop. This is a country that is determined, it seems, to develop a nuclear weapon in defiance of the international community, that is determined that they should not get one. It is a country that is the central banker for terrorism, whether that terrorism is in southern Iraq or in the Palestinian territories or in Lebanon.
I'm sorry, I think I've heard this before. Speechwriters got it easy these days. All they have to do is dust off a three-year-old speech, white out Iraq and insert Iran. Pretty sweet government gig if you can get it, I guess.
That was Condoleezza Rice, U.S. Secretary of State. Here in Britain, the police killing of an innocent Brazilian man who was mistaken to be a suicide bomber is back in the news this week. On Thursday, Prime Minister Tony Blair discussed the killing of Jean-Charles de Meneses shortly after a meeting with Brazilian President Luiz Inácio de Lula da Silva.
Once again, let me say that we offer our deepest regrets to the family for this very tragic event. And I, of course, assured the President that the proper investigations and procedures would continue through to their conclusion.
But the family of Meneses said they would, quote, never accept Blair's apology. Meneses' cousin, Alex Pereira, said, quote, I won't accept Blair's apology because he's killing people. He apologized, but at the same time, they will still carry on their shoot-to-kill policy. And in California, a woman is suing her former employer after she was fired for having a bumper sticker for the progressive radio network Air America. The woman, Linda LaRocca, alleges in her lawsuit that her boss at Advantage Sales and Marketing fired her on the spot after seeing the bumper sticker and then said, quote, the country is on a high state of alert. For all I know, you could be Al-Qaeda, the employer said. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report.
You are listening to a radio. Because of the time it takes for radio to travel to Earth from distant sources, radio astronomers are able to see the universe as it appeared more than 10 billion years ago. The artificial radio broadcast you are listening to now portrays the universe as it was just 1 second ago. Stay current. Listen to the Mike Cannon Show.
This has been the Mike Cannon Show. This has been Glee Glee Productions, specially made for WNRB Central Wisconsin Community Radio. I'm Mike Cannon.
Love to chat, but gotta go.